Okay, hi everyone, you may be seated. Happy Monday. How's it going? Is everyone enjoying their food and treats? I know I did. I was really excited dipping my caramel in the caramel apple, so it was really fun, a lot of good treats. So I get the fun privilege of starting our rapid fire devotionals, as we're calling it. Kim and I were talking, I'm like, oh, you have a cute nickname for everything, Kim, and I love it, right? So I get to share a little takeaway on Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, and then Sarah will come up after me and share on the next few verses, and then she'll hand it off to someone else. So I'm really excited. I'm going to read Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, but it's always a good idea to start in prayer. So let's do that. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you just for joyful and smiling faces as I look out. And I pray, Lord, that would be well-pleasing in your sight. So we just give up these studies to you, these rapid-fire devotionals to you, and we ask that you would speak through each of us and minister to all of us, God, tonight, and help us to receive your word in your truth and in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hill from whence comes from my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So I'm calling this little devotional, Who Helps the Helper? It's actually a question. Who helps the helper? Maybe you already know the answer. But as I was reading and praying over these two verses, what really jumped out at me was that in verse 1 and verse 2 of Psalm 121 is the word help, right? That's the narrative thread. The neat thing about that word is the root word of that word help is the same word in the Bible that we have in Genesis 2:20 for the word woman. Isn't that cool? So it's Genesis 2:20 says, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So that word ezer kenegdo, okay, ezer is help and meet comparable to him, right? From Genesis 20 is a description of the way God wires us as women. And that's the same word that we see in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2, the word help, ezer. And I just want all the ladies to just take a second, and you don't have to say anything out loud, and think about all the commitments you had just today. All the things you did just today, okay? No matter how old you are, no matter what season of life you're in, okay, being a woman, okay, you wear a lot of hats, okay? And you're just always switching hats. You're always switching hats. And it's just a lot of different things, a lot of different hats, a lot of responsibilities. And they're all a blessing, but they are all a lot of different hats. So it is hard to keep up with all the hats we wear as women, and really, you know, sometimes the expectations of us as women. So our role as women, according to Genesis 2:20, it says that God made us to be a helpmeet. Okay, and I really think that, like, if you were to just take this without a worldview, right, with just a biblical view looking at this, it is so simple to look at an unbiased biblical view of how God sees women, okay? It literally says in Genesis 20 that God wanted to make Adam a helper comparable to him, right? So God is a God of order, right? And we have roles, right, between men and women. And God is saying, right, not one is more important than the other, right? God is saying the woman is comparable to him, right? We just have different wirings and different roles and different things God has wired us to do, right? And that word, right, translates to support, right? You're supportive, right? And that comparability, right, is important. So the question of the night is, so if we have so much stacked on our plates and we have so many hats that we're exchanging, who helps the helper, right? And the answer is actually in verse 2. It says the Lord. The Lord helps the helper. I don't know about you, but there are so many days that I'm just like, I wish I had my mom here to just cook a meal for me. Like, I don't want to make dinner. I'm going to go hungry. It's okay. Oh, but I have a 5-year-old. He's not going to let me keep him hungry, and I wouldn't keep him hungry, right? So you just like have so many moments. You're like, I just wish I had a little help. I just want a little help, right? And the Lord's saying like, He will be our helper. He is our helper. So He is the person that helps the helper, right? He is the source of all help. And I love that the name of God here, we've talked a lot about the names of God this season. The name of God here is Yahweh. Okay, that's very important. We've said so many times that the word Yahweh actually means all becoming one, which just translates that He is everything we need Him to be. So all of our hats in this room as women may look different, but the God is the same. And He is the provider of all help. So we have to turn to Him, right? If we're going to really do and flourish as the way He's wired us to be a helpmeet. So He is everything we need Him to be. So how do we draw this strength from our source of help, Yahweh? One is putting Him first, okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, okay? I catch myself so many mornings, right? I actually took this from Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot, if you don't know, was a missionary, right? And her husband died in the mission field, and she spent most of her life ministering to those people that actually martyred her husband. And she had a big speaking ministry. And one of her teachings, she says that she left no room to miss her morning quiet times, but at nighttime, she would set up her pen, her journal, her Bible, and open it to the study she was in. And I just thought, that was great advice. So if you don't have a corner in your house where you do your quiet times in, find one, right? Make it your quiet time journal area. And when I wake up in the morning, like there's no excuse for me to start doing something else because I run downstairs and Michelle will understand this. I have a timed coffee pot, right? It's already ready for me and it feels like someone's helped me make coffee, right? It's timed and ready for me. And I just see my journal and pen and Bible study open and ready to go. So I have no excuse to start doing something else, right? And that is the best decision you can make is to get help right from the start because you don't know what your day has planned for you and it's really hard to go out into the world without your battle tools, okay? And our battle tools are the Word of God and prayer. So that's my second exhortation to you is you have to turn to Him in prayer, right? As women, we need help. We get help by starting with the Word of God and asking Him in prayer. I don't know about you, but there are so many times where I catch myself starting to do something and I can like feel almost like a burning in my heart that I'm like, oh, I need to stop and pray. I need to stop and pray. And our hearts are so rebellious. I'm like, yeah, just a second. Just a second. I got to finish this thought. And then I'm like, no, I'm going to stop now. And it's actually a discipline. You have to tell yourself, like you have to like talk to yourself, like don't do that, right? Right? Don't do that. Talk to God first. And I stop, right? And pray and ask God, like, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Lord, how should I write this email? Lord, what is the answer here? Lord, I think this is what I'm supposed to do, but correct me if I'm wrong. You know the way to show me, right? Those little, like, quick, we call them, like, the prophet Nehemiah in the Old Testament was really known for his quick popcorn prayers, right? He would just be like, Lord, what should I do, right? And that is an important prayer, just as important as our lengthy prayers are. So, get in the Word each morning to get your source of help and turn to prayer, okay? I think we would just be blown away at how much God strengthened us through those little prayers that we had throughout the day in our role and calling as a helpmeet. So the little pauses in prayers and those times of devotionals, that is where our help comes from, okay? The Lord, He is the one who helps the helper, and that's all of us. Okay, I'm going to pass it to Sarah now for part two of the rapid fire devotional. So, yay.
Okay, good evening, ladies. How is everybody doing on Gratitude Monday? Almost said Gratitude Thursday, but it's not quite Thanksgiving. Okay, I have the privilege of covering verse 3-4 of Psalm 121, which says, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Which coincidentally is one of your verses on the pumpkins on your tables, which really works well for my exhortation tonight because in preparing for this, I also found myself drawn to the first portion of these verses. He will not allow your foot to be moved. So How blessed are we that the author of creation and salvation, who authors our footsteps, establishes us in a firm place that allows us to stand and not be moved from our standing in Jesus Christ. The following is from David Guzik's commentary on Psalm 121:3. If you don't use the Blue Letter Bible app, this is where I got the commentary from, so I encourage you guys to check that out because there's a lot of good nuggets in there from other commentators. And he says, for the Christian, this reminds us of the principles found in Ephesians 6, 11, and 13, that the believer is to find a place to stand, and this can only be done by looking to the Lord and trusting the one who will not allow your foot to be moved. So the standing of the believer in Jesus is really impressive, and it's an incredible thing, and we see that in the following verses. Number one, we stand in grace, Romans 5, 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The second, we stand in the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand. The third thing we stand in is courage and strength, 1 Corinthians 6:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. The fourth, we stand in faith, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. The fifth, we stand in Christian liberty, Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. The sixth, I lost count. The next one. We stand in Christian unity, Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We stand in the Lord, Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. In the goal, we will stand perfect and complete in the will of God, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So to sum it up, our standing in Christ is never to be moved because he keeps our foot firm, firmly planted no matter what we go through. So we stand in grace, we stand in the gospel, we stand in courage and strength. We stand in faith. We stand in Christian unity and Christian liberty. And forever we will stand in the Lord. And I really liked when y'all did shout to the Lord because that was part of standing in the Lord forever. Forever we'll praise him. With the goal being to stand perfect and complete in the will of God. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Though we will go through trials and storms, the Lord promises us that we will not be moved from our standing in Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Well, hello, ladies. I have Psalm 121, verses 5 to 6. And it says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. As I pondered on Psalm 121, verses 5 to 6, the word that stood out to me was the word Lord. And I love that Tamar talked about it because I was doing my research and I discovered through Don Stewart in the BLB, which I love that. That's one thing that Tamar gave to me and I was like, thank you, Lord. He said in the English translation of the Old Testament, whenever we find the word spelled Lord with capital letters, it is a translation of the name Yahweh. And I love that. The name Yahweh or Jehovah is the name God uses for himself, as Tamar was saying. It refers to the self-existent eternal God. The name God revealed to Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. And I'm going to quote Tamar here. This is what I put. I remember what Tamar taught us in her teaching to call to Jehovah the all-becoming one. And that really, it was really awesome because when I was doing my research, I was like, oh my word, Tamar said this. And I'm just, when I was, studying, when I think about that, the eternal God, the all-becoming one, the great I am, that is the God that will keep you. The one who spoke life into existence is able to protect you. As we journey with God and seek his face, we will need to remember who he is. I love that it starts in verse 5 off with the Lord. It goes back to the beginning of creation where we see the power of God. We serve a great God. Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Absolutely not. Many times we forget how powerful our God is because we lose focus on Jesus. Have you lost sight of how great our God is? Tonight, I want to remind you to behold his power. We have this great promise. The Lord, the all-becoming one, is your keeper, your protector, your guard. He is the one that watches over you and defends you. Selah on that. You and I need his protection. Satan is prowling like a lion, seeking how to devour you. He hates you and will throw many distractions, darts of doubt, so you will lose sight of the Lord. And I really like how Pastor John mentioned that yesterday as well. And it said that Satan wanted to crush Peter. And yes, the enemy wants to crush each of you. He hates you and he hates as you're seeking the Lord. But remember, our God is powerful. Verse 5 continues, "The Lord is your shade at your right hand." Every time I see the word "is" next to God, I remember there is no end. Because God is continually working. And I love that. That's one of my favorite words when I see the Lord is. He never stops. The NLT version said, "The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade." And I really love that. That really ministered to my heart. He's standing beside me and he's standing beside all of you. Okay, I lost my place, ladies. Let's see, Psalm 91:4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." I'm always in awe on how much the Lord provides for us. All he asks us to do is to just to trust him, and he is able, right? My question to you tonight is, are you putting all your trust in the Almighty God? Or are you substituting the Lord for someone else or something else? Are you saying in your heart, "The job, the husband, etc., is my keeper"? What are you putting before God? You know, God wants to become real in your life. He wants you to remember that when you put him first, he becomes all the promises that he has in his word. I encourage you to surrender that to the Lord if you haven't yet done so. I'm almost done, don't worry. As we continue to walk with the Lord, we will pass through fires just like, oh my word, your name just went off my head. Sarah. Sorry, Sarah. As Sarah was saying. But we don't need to fear the testing or trials because we need it to grow our trust and faith in the Lord. Amen. Verse 6 says, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." You know what happens when you put your whole trust in the all-becoming one? You have this assurance that though the sun representing the trials or testings are hitting you hard and you're being crushed down, the sun will not harm you. You will take his word with confidence and say, "The Lord is my keeper. The Lord stands beside me as a protective shield." No matter how dark things get in your life, the Lord is with you. I know many times it feels like he's not there, but don't trust in your feelings. That's something that always speaks to me. Many times as women, we really depend on our feelings, and the Lord's like, "Nope, you can't. You have to really just look to the Lord," because our feelings are very deceitful. So we trust in the Almighty God, the great I am, the one who is able to keep us. Amen? The Lord, is he the one you seek? That is a question for you girls tonight. When you think about him, do you remember him as Jehovah, the eternal one, the all-becoming one, the great I am, the one who created the heaven and earth? And that's something that really ministered to me. When I go before the Lord, do I see him as the one, the creator of all? Do I do that, or do I just go directly to what's bothering me instead of seeing how great he is? I want to leave you with this, and this is my ending. Jesus becomes Yahweh or Jehovah, the eternal God, to those who have a relationship with him. He is Jehovah, your keeper, provider, healer, your banner, your peace, your shepherd, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord who is there. He is the great I am. Amen. And I just want to end with one quick story very quickly. When my daughter Naomi was 12, I asked her what was her favorite scripture in the Bible. And I was really thinking she was going to say the one from Joshua 1:9 or John 3:16, right? And she answered and said, I like Genesis 1:3. And I said, Genesis 1:3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, or what? No, she's like, Mom, no. Where it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I looked at her a little shocked, and I was like, wait, why do you like that verse? And she said, because it shows me the power of God. He just spoke, and there was light. And I said, oh. So the one thing for me to you girls is, our God is great.
Hello. So I'm going to get to share with you what the Lord showed me through Psalm 121, verses 7 through 8. And we read, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And of course, the word that stuck out to me in this verse is preserve, which is mentioned three times and means to keep, to guard, or to watch over. And immediately, the Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 6, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and specifically to verse 6:13, which says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And of course, in this chapter, we read, right, all the armor that God has provided to each one of us to be able to stand against evil, right? We have the belt of truth, which is in God's word. We have the breastplate of righteousness, which we're imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness, not anything that we've done, right? What Christ did for us. Our feet are shod with the gospel of peace, so we can go share that with everyone else, right? Tell them the good news about Jesus. And then it says, above all, taking up the shield of faith, which allows us to quench all, not some, but all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? And this Sunday, right, we covered Luke 23:31. And whenever Satan asked to sift Peter, Jesus told Peter, but I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. That's what Jesus was worried about, his faith. And I know several of us mentioned faith, right? Then we have the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. And then we have our, I say, 24/7 wireless connection to God. Never fails. You're never out of signal. He hears every prayer. He answers every single prayer of a believer. Now, it might not be the answer we want, but be for sure that it's the best answer for you. Okay? Trials are guaranteed. Jesus' words, not mine. John 6:33b. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's this song that I wish Naomi had sung tonight. I tried to convince her. She said no. But it's new. It's new wine. And I love the verse, right? And it came to me from this, or at least the Lord brought it to me. So I yield to you into your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand, right? When we're going through trials, sometimes we don't understand, right? And we're hoping it wasn't ours. But if we trust our God, and we know from the Bible, Romans 8:28, we know. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So we aren't guaranteed a trial-free life, but we are guaranteed that every trial that we go through, right, it's for our own good. And in the trial is where we have such a great opportunity to either glorify God and bring glory to him, or to push him away and run away from him. Now, just like thinking as a teacher, and I'm not a teacher, but just thinking as a teacher, right? I would stay away from pushing God away, because as a believer, first of all, you don't want to retake the test. You want to get it right the first time, right? And then we always have to keep in mind that during the test, right, the teacher's quiet, but it's an open book test, right? We have God's word. It's an open book test. All the answers are in here. One of my favorite verses, and I know, I think John covered on this one too, right, is that in addition to the whole armor of God, in Job 1:9 we find, so Satan answered the Lord, and this is where God was talking good about Job, right? He was giving Job's good qualities. I highly advise you to go read that verse, because you want to pray to God to make you like Job in the attributes that Job had in that verse. But, you know, God was talking good about him. And Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? We have a hedge of protection that God put around us. Now, what really strikes me about this verse is who was saying it. Satan. We all know that Satan is a fallen angel, right? And then in 2 Kings 19:35, one angel took out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. I praise God for the hedge of protection, because without that hedge of protection, we don't stand a chance, right? So we have the hedge of protection, and that's how God preserves us from evil, right? And then 121:7b says, he shall preserve your soul. We go to 1 Corinthians 10:13, and it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it, right? And if your way of escape is something that's against God's law, that's not God's way of escape. Everything will always align with God's law. I'm going to quote Spurgeon here because I really love this quote. It says, our soul is kept from the dominion of sin, the infection of error, the crush of despondency, the puffing up of pride, kept from the world, the flesh, and the devil, kept for holier and greater things, kept in the love of God, kept unto the eternal kingdom and glory. And then Romans 8:38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So he shall preserve your soul. Next we read in verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And going out encompasses everything you do and wherever you go. And forevermore is forever. The all-powerful God, he guards us forever. In John 14:16, again, Jesus' words, and I'll close with this verse, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So that goes into eternity.
Okay, I'm making a comeback. Hi again. So I get the sweet, sweet privilege of doing what we call a Monday mashup, which is, if you haven't been with us This is great news for you because you're going to get a summary of everything we learned in the fall all in the next 10 minutes. Are you ready? No, kind of, yeah. So we're calling this Monday Mashup, which is just our review of the fall study. So I'm going to go and highlight just a few of the things that we learned from each of the studies. And I was so blessed to go through them, but we're going to kind of tie them all together at the end. So in our first message, in our overview session, Kim titled her message, Who is Jesus and Why Should We Follow Him? And we learned from her study that God was looking for availability and not ability, right? That is good news. And she also said that if we call Jesus Lord, we are proclaiming he has supreme and complete control of our lives. So when we say Jesus is Lord, that's what we're saying. But she gave us this exhortation. She said to text out scriptures because that is God's word. And I love that, right? I love that exhortation. She gave us something specific to do with it. In our second message, John the Baptist, Val titled that message, Courageous John, and we learned that God tells us in the book of Hebrews that he is well pleased with us when we repent, abandon sin, and get thankful. Very appropriate because we have a gratitude gathering tonight. She exhorted us at the end of her message to stop resisting risk and risk it all to share Jesus with others. And the third message, I had the privilege to teach on Peter, and we called the title of the message, A Firm Foundation. We learned the importance of biblical name. We learned that Peter was meant tiny pebble, right? That's his name. And God was essentially telling him, Peter, when you realize you're a tiny pebble and put your trust in the boulder of Jesus Christ, that's when you'll go places, right? That's when I can use you. And his name Simon actually just means hears God. And as Simon, he heard God and followed him all the days of his life in his ups and downs. I did give all of you an exhortation. The Lord gave an exhortation that we should trust and surrender to Jesus because, like Peter, he realized that Jesus did know him better than he knew himself. In the fourth teaching, Kim covered James and John, and she titled that message, Let Down Your Nets. I love that. I highlighted all the time I put, Let Down Your Nets in my notes. We learned that in ministry, whatever we do, our jobs, right, life, work, church, whatever we do, it is going to be more than we are able, right, because we need to do it in God's power. And it often comes at a high cost, right? I like your line, Alisa, right? It's Jesus' words, not mine. Yeah, I like that. I love that Kim said that the two pillars in our walk with God is discipline and devotion, and that gives us stability and helps us get over discouragement and doubt. Right? So discipline and devotion helps us get over discouragement and doubt. She did exhort us to leave behind our own expectations for what we think our life should look like and give it up for what God has for our lives because it's much better. Last week in message 5, Val taught on Paul the Apostle. That must have been the hardest undertaking, but it was so fruitful because we all learned so much. Val asked us the question, how important is it to be fruitful in our calling? Paul said that he would rather give his life than to miss his calling. So she gave us the exhortation that in the she told us how her daughter like set aside money and she uses that to gift things to people or disaster relief, which I thought was a practical exhortation. So we're bringing this all together in the narrative thread of all these messages were actually exhortations, right? So you might be asking, what exactly is an exhortation? Good news, I'm going to tell you the definition of it. By definition, an exhortation is an address or communication emphatically urging someone to do something. And this is actually the word parakaleo, which is the same word for the Holy Spirit in the Bible, paraclete, right? So a gift of exhortation is really to come alongside someone in their calling, right? So when someone gives you an exhortation, okay, it's twofold. It's an encouragement, but it takes it a step further and asks you to do something with it. So Hebrews 3:13 says we are to exhort one another daily, right? So you're supposed to encourage and then ask people to do that with an encouragement, right? The Amplified Bible says to continually encourage one another. Romans chapter 12 actually says that this is a spiritual gift, right? And you can have, there are two separate gifts. Usually if you have the gift of teaching, you also have a gift of exhortation, but some may have the gift of exhortation, but not necessarily the gift of teaching, right? So it's an encouragement with action. And the purpose is to encourage or rebuke, right? Pointing people back to Christ, kind of like how the Holy Spirit does, right? Points back to Jesus. So, The final study exhortation I'm going to have from our fall is twofold, okay? Are you ready to write this down? One is I want you to take 10 minutes tomorrow and look through your study from the fall, any of the notes you took from the messages or the homework, and pick one exhortation that really ministered to you. So my exhortation is find your exhortation. Okay, and then the second part to that is to pray and ask God to help you take action to that exhortation, right? I want to end with this. It's in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. I'm going to read it for you. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man or woman observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. And the Bible is telling me in order to be blessed, I have to do God's word. So find that exhortation that ministered to you from God's word in this fall study and do that, right? Ask God to help you do that. Okay, I'm going to pass it along to Kim to give us exhortation in Romans.
Just in case any of you are tired, this keeps you awake. We just keep changing people. Anyway, okay, so really quick, first I want to say the four speakers, right? I want to say what Joy is what I thought of the whole time Tamara was speaking the first time and the second time. I want to say strength is what I saw when Sarah got up here. I saw confidence in our sweet Noemi, and I saw wise in the word in Elisa, which is all of you. So anyway, that was just so fun. Okay, so on the tables, you each have a little packet. That is your Romans 8 memorization homework for all of winter. So Tamar just gave you two homeworks specifically for tomorrow. But your third piece of homework, you get a little bit more time, is you get to memorize all of Romans 8, which I am so excited for. So you have a little cheat sheet that you can carry with you, throw it in your purse. I'm going to tell you one little trick about memorizing that I do. It's so embarrassing that I'm going to tell you this, but I read it to myself on my audio section on my phone, and then I play it like while I'm driving, where I have to listen to myself say the verses over and over and over again. I don't know. Try it. That's my exhortation for that. Okay, so why do we memorize? This is what I have to say. I don't have my glasses on. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So if you don't memorize it, you don't have it hidden in your heart. The second reason is Hebrews 4:12. So it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, I really need my glasses, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the third reason we memorize is Psalm 119:105, and it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So those are really important things. Why Romans 8? Why did God put Romans 8 on my heart? One, because the book of Romans is a book of theology, but it's also a book of practical exhortation, the word for tonight. The second reason is it's a fantastic witnessing tool. I know that we learned that in our Paul study is the Romans Road, but there's the whole book of Romans is a fantastic witnessing tool. So memorize lots, not just chapter 8, but lots of Romans, because you can use it to literally lead somebody to the Lord. The third thing, actually, Elisa shared this with me. It's used significantly in many Romans 8, or the book of Romans was used specifically in so many people that we really look up to, like Martin Luther, John Wesley, Augustine, Pastor Chuck Smith. They were all greatly affected by the book of Romans. In chapter 8, which is what we're learning, verse 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we all love that verse, right? And then in verse 18, it talks about strength. In verses 24 through 25, it talks about hope. In verses 26 through 27, the Holy Spirit is praying for the saints. In verse 31, God is for us. In verse 35, we are joined with Christ. In verse 37 through 38, we are more than conquerors that cannot be separated from the love of Christ. Do you think Romans 8 is going to be cool? I think it's going to be so cool. So my exhortation, I didn't know it was the word for the day, but in winter break, study, memorize, and have one-on-one fellowship. Take your time to have one-on-one fellowship. Get together. Go have coffee. Go get an ice cream cone, whatever it is. Take some time to have one-on-one fellowship with a sister. Gather with your groups. A lot of you guys have Christmas parties coming up. Get together with your group so you keep that relationship going. And the third thing is use the book of Romans and witness to somebody. And I cannot wait to hear the stories that you come back with. We know that God's word does not return void. And just like Jill shared earlier, you might be really discouraged that maybe you've poured in to somebody and you've shared the word over and over and over again with them, and you feel like it's just fallen on deaf ears. Please use what God just did with her mom and apply it into your own heart. Go and share. Just give somebody the word. If you don't know what to say, just give them a scripture. It doesn't have to be profound. God's word is faithful to do its job. And when we memorize it, we don't have to start shuffling and looking for it. We can just say it, right? So memorize his word. All right. So we're going to bring Noemi and Grace. We're going to sing I Exalt Thee at the top of our lungs, just so loud. All right. We want the heavens to rejoice with us. All right. I love you guys all. Thank you for coming to the gratitude gathering.